Hey guys, it's Corey from Redefining Strength. Welcome to the Fitness Hacks Podcast. Today I want to talk about bad habits. And I don't fully like calling them bad habits because often it's not necessarily that they're bad. They just don't serve our needs, our systems right now, our body right now. But I want to talk about how to adjust those habits to see the results that you deserve, whether or not you're trying to break the pattern of eating later at night or some workout habits that you've fallen into. We're going to jump into all the different tips to really set yourself up for success with habits that are leading you forward. So let's jump right in. The first key to breaking bad habits is to stop beating ourselves up over them rearing their ugly heads when we least expect them to. Because there is a process of unlearning as we learn new habits that really comes into play, and it's not an easy process. But the more we make ourselves feel guilty for falling back into old patterns or habits, things that we do want to change, habits that we deem bad, the more we're going to actually sabotage the changes from truly occurring or being ingrained. Because we create this mindset of failure over a mindset of success. So if you're looking to break bad habits, I want you to first recognize that it's going to be a process and you have to give yourself some grace as you go through it. A lot of the bad habits we have are patterns that we repeat so unconsciously, we don't even realize they're there. We don't even realize sometimes what triggers them. So there's going to be this process of unlearning before we can even learn new habits. And in this unlearning process, we have to really pause to assess when these things come up. So if you have something like emotional eating, eating late at night, even needing a snack at specific times of the day, maybe falling back into old routines and habits that don't let you, you know, do your new sleep routines, whatever else it is, the first thing you really need to do is assess why that pattern occurs in the first place. And when it does occur, instead of making yourself feel guilty for it popping up, say, hey, what led to this today? This is a perfect time for me to really assess how this unconscious pattern is being repeated. Because the more you can make it conscious, the more you help yourself unlearn it to implement the new habits. But in wanting to break bad habits, there is that unlearning process. It's not simply saying, hey, I want to do this new thing and then putting that new thing into routine. It truly is creating or disassociating those little things and patterns and routines and habits in the sequences that they occur. Because usually with things like emotional eating, right? We've had a stressful day. We haven't even realized we've had a stressful day and we come home maxed out. And all of a sudden we're going to the cabinet, grabbing things and have eaten 15 Oreo cookies before we even realize it, right? That pattern occurs and then we feel guilty afterwards. We blame ourselves for the bad habit. We want to stop the emotional eating, but we've also created more of an emotionally charged state around it and more guilt around it, which oddly enough, makes it more likely to happen. So while we might want to learn a new habit in that, or we might just say we want to stop that habit, we have to first take that step back and stop making yourself feel guilty and really assess why it's occurring. In creating new habits and breaking bad habits and interrupting those patterns, we have to build a lot of self-awareness. So if you have a bad habit that occurs, think about all the things around it, not just the habit itself. So if you're like, okay, it's emotional eating or snacking in the afternoon or snacking late at night, think about that habit and the pattern that is sort of leading up to it. What other lifestyle factors make you want to do this? What other lifestyle factors come into play that are going to make it hard to break this bad habit potentially? Is that you are sitting on the couch and not, you know, really doing a ton of stuff? Is that you're kind of bored that makes you want to snack more? Is it that you're not addressing those emotional factors or dealing with those actual emotions, which leads to trying to solve them through eating? You have to assess what's leading to the pattern and part of that pattern outside of the actual habit if you want to make changes. But to be able to break these habits, you've got to take that step back and stop making yourself feel guilty. You've got to give yourself grace to embrace the unlearning and learning process. Because as much as it is the actions that matter, it's also the mindsets we're creating, because a lot of those will help in perpetuating the things that will move us forward, but also us defaulting back into those old patterns. And even recognizing that a lot of these bad habits we've repeated for years, so it's not going to be just fixed in a matter of days or weeks or even months. It's going to take time. And then we're going to find that we're better or more diligent about not falling back into those patterns and routines when we're in specific mindsets, life's going a specific way. But then we'll have something that does create that overload that makes us revert back to those comfortable things of bygone years, potentially even. So even when that happens, just recognize, hey, this is what triggered it. How can I better handle this in the future? But recognizing that these things are almost never fully like overcome. They're always slightly lurking there and they're always something that we're going to deal with. And I think while that can sound really negative, it's oddly a positive to recognize that we almost have this little troll that instead of being on our shoulder, it's hiding in its cave, but it's always kind of there. And it can pop its head out when we least expect it or least want it to. But because if we own that it's always there, we can address more of the things that might lead to it becoming more of a presence before it really does. So in trying to break bad habits, really recognize that there is an unlearning and learning process and that we have to give ourselves grace to really make changes to something that's been there and developed over years and years and years as a solution to a problem. I'm super excited to be joined by Michelle to talk about late night snacking, how we can make changes to our eating behaviors, see results. But also, I'm going to throw her a little bit of a curveball and start off by saying, Michelle, is eating closer to bed as bad as we think for fat loss?
No, it's not. A lot of times people think that it's going to have a huge effect, and it depends on the person. But the big thing is if you're staying in a calorie deficit, at the end of the day, you're in a calorie deficit. The issue we have is if it's interrupting your sleep, or a lot of people who kind of get in the rut of they've ate really good all day, but it's really because they've restricted all day. And then they get super hungry at night, so they overeat. And when they overeat, it disrupts their sleep because we activate our digestive system. And then they wake up the next morning not hungry. So it puts them in this cycle. So while late night eating is not as bad, I know so many people are like, I have to stop eating after 7, or everything after 7 is going to turn to fat. That's not going to happen. We want to make sure that we are eating adequate amount of calories, and we want to make sure that we are not getting to that point where we're so hungry that we're just eating anything in sight, not really paying attention to what it is we're consuming.
I just think it's so key we do highlight that point, because I think a lot of people think there's a magic time at night because there's been diets that say 5 p.m., 6 p.m., 7 p.m., whatever it is. But really, it's more that by restricting the time that people could eat in, just like intermittent fasting kind of does, it restricts the time we might mindlessly snack, which might add up in their calories. However, as you mentioned, we do want to pay attention to when eating closer to bed might be interrupting your sleep. But there's also times where potentially eating specific things closer to bed could help promote better sleep as well.
Exactly. So it's really looking at what are you actually consuming late at night? And what is the result you're trying to go for? If you know that your sleep is already impaired, and for someone, for example, if you already are in menopause, already having some sleep issues, but you're someone that eats about 30 minutes before bed, that's going to be, whether it's carb heavy, soup, high fat, you could potentially be making your digestive system work a little bit during when you're trying to fall asleep. And so it's really just kind of taking those things into consideration. But as you said, there's food items too that we want to consume about 30 minutes to an hour before bed to promote sleep. So the good rule of thumb is about 2 hours before bed is usually when we want to stop eating, but everyone's bedtime is different. So that clock is going to be thrown off.
So if someone is like, okay, I do feel like I'm so deprived at the end of the day, I just binge on things, I can't stop my late night snacking, how could they go about making changes and actually adjusting so that they're not necessarily having those cravings at night?
So the first thing is, and it's very counterintuitive because this is not how most people feel when they wake up, but eat breakfast. A lot of people that tend to get to the end of the day and be super hungry, it's because they have overeaten in the evening, they wake up, they're not hungry, so they skip breakfast. Well, that kind of already puts you kind of behind during the day. And a lot of us, we are busy during the day, so some of us just aren't consuming enough calories anyways. So my big thing is it's not going to feel intuitive, because especially if you're someone that does intuitive eating and you're like, but I'm not hungry, I eat when I'm hungry. Well, we're trying to break a cycle that you have become used to. So waking up in the morning, first thing, eat a breakfast. Make it hopefully a well-balanced breakfast that's going to have some protein, some carbs, and some fat in it. And then make sure you're consistently eating throughout the day. And this is really just when we're trying to break that nighttime eating habit. So the body should naturally feel hungry every 3 to 4 hours after a meal. So with that said, we want to make sure you're consuming adequate calories throughout the day, making sure that you're having adequate amounts of protein in there. And that's going to set you up by the end of the day that you're not so hungry. But a big part of that is also, are you trying to be super good during the day and you're eating that salad? So I want to look at, I know I've mentioned protein, carbs, and fat, but I'll see clients that they're like, well, I had a salad and then I woke up and I had, I've had clients that are like, I woke up and I had some squash and eggs. And then for lunch, I had a salad and chicken. And then for dinner, I had broccoli and a chicken breast. Well, they're skipping out on carbs all day. And so by the end of the day, all of a sudden, they're like, my body's craving carbs. Yeah, because you didn't eat any during the day. And so now that's the big thing, is everything's gone. They feel super extra hungry. All of a sudden, the popcorn, the chips, the candy, the ice cream, those are starting to look really good. So really, it's also the type of food that we're consuming at night that's also the issue.
We often don't assess like where cravings are really coming from, because they hit and you just want to take care of them, right? And then you usually reach for the not so healthy things, because you're not usually like, oh, I'm craving carbs, that's why I want my ice cream. So let me have some fruit and rice and potatoes. No, we go for the ice cream, right? It's easy, it's tasty. But it's assessing too at night, like, what pattern are you repeating? What might you be depriving yourself of so that you're either getting so hungry that you can't control it at the end, or that you just really want it? And if you gave yourself a little thing here or there, might actually stop those things. But instead, we just sort of blame ourselves and just label it as no willpower, no self-control, instead of saying, why might this be happening? What can I adjust earlier in the day?
And this comes back to a lot of the times when I'm meeting with clients, I ask them, well, what is that favorite food that you're like, oh, I can't eat that? Let's work it in. Let's work it in earlier, so we're not getting to this point where you are so hungry. You've tried to, because a lot of times people will eat other things to try and avoid and keep their mouths busy, so they're not reaching for that bag of chips. And they end up actually eating more calories than they would have just actually satisfied that and kind of already put it in, built it into the kind of their tracking and making sure that it fits. So it's kind of having that approach too. Like, we want to avoid this restrict binge. So we want to make sure that we are still kind of enjoying eating, truthfully. Like, food should be enjoyed. If you're not enjoying your food, it's most likely because you have over-restricted something in your diet.
So it's being aware. If you're really craving something, okay, how can I find this balance or not make myself crave it? Instead of saying, no, I just need to deny this craving.
Yeah. And it's kind of, so when we do that, right? So like we're starting to eat more regularly. We're honoring some of our treats. But if you're still finding yourself struggling when you hit nighttime and you're wanting to kind of have some snacks, again, it comes back to slowing things down. So one thing is a lot of times people think they're hungry when they're actually thirsty. So if you get to that point where you're like, I've had a good day of eating, I know I've had my protein, my carbs, I know I've satisfied all those things, but I'm still hungry at night, then let's add a glass of water, or really look at what your triggers are. For a lot of people, it's because they just didn't set their day up right, and so they're extra hungry in the evening. For some people, it's a stress thing. Like, they eat at night because it's a stress reliever. For others, there's some other emotional ties that it can be. So even just slowing yourself down, drinking a glass of water, giving yourself some time to actually think things through and really kind of be like, why am I actually hungry right now? And a lot of times, just having that kind of inner dialogue where you can kind of assess yourself is going to actually help you choose whether or not you need that snack.
So with pausing to slow down, I think it's so important too, because we don't realize how much are just like patterns of also ingrained. It's not necessarily even emotional. You know, maybe it isn't that we even restricted earlier in the day. We might even feel good, but it's that pattern, right? It's even like with weekend eating. Sometimes we just have those routines and then eating goes along with it. So maybe you've just always sat down, watched some TV, had a snack with it. So all of a sudden you're craving something when you're watching TV, just because that's usually what you do. And so I think by that pause to assess and drinking water, you're interrupting that pattern. You're allowing yourself to assess, okay, this is just because this routine has been there. It's not that I'm actually hungry, I don't need anything. It's just that pattern.
And I think going along with that is being patient with yourself. So many times people will be like, okay, I know I have this late night eating binge thing happening. I'm done. Like, I'm going to stop. Be realistic with yourself. Like you said, this is a habit that you've learned. It's a learned behavior. It's taking you years to really establish this habit. It's not going to take years to break, but you're not going to do it. You're not going to be perfect in a week. You're not going to be perfect in a month. And you may be able to maintain it for a week, but have a backslide. Don't get down on yourself when you do notice that kind of popping up, because it is a learned behavior you've had for how many years you are. And we want to make sure that we're being realistic. So a lot of times I think that emotional side actually makes it even worse for people.
And then even noticing when it is part of a routine, say, okay, hey, this is part of a routine. I do want a snack. how could I even make this snack more healthy, hit my macros, work for me instead of trying to fight our urge to do something? Because the more we steer into that, it sort of goes back to the whole like nutrition by addition, right? If you can use something you're already doing, but then add value to what you currently want to work towards, that could even be helpful. So yes, you might want to cut back on your late night snacking, but to start, maybe you just even replace that late night snack with something healthier.
Yeah. And that, and even doing like some a portion control approach with it as well. So if you know, like, you know, I love the popcorn, watching TV. That's kind of how I've taught myself to wind down. It's how I de-stress after a long day of work. Great. You don't need to jump in and all of a sudden say like absolutely no huge bags of popcorn. Maybe you get the small serving size. Maybe you get those single serve pops, and even cutting back is going to serve you better than all of a sudden cutting it out completely. So as long as we're working towards and you're progressing, you're going to improve and see better results. But it's really just making sure that we're being, again, a little realistic. And if we have a goal and you find that, okay, that I really didn't realize how hard it was to break up with late night snacking, take it step back, make that a little bit smaller.
And I think it's important to like even pause here to like recognize a common complaint or issue I hear come up, and it's with couples where, you know, maybe the one person is trying to make healthier decisions, cut out late night snacking, and the other person's sitting there on the couch, you know, having their dessert, whatever else. And they're like, but I want something when I see them eating it. It's like in that situation, instead of forcing yourself not to have something, instead of forcing yourself to feel restricted where you're going to either end up then having something worse or the next day giving up on like all the healthy changes you're making. Hey, if this is something you sort of share with them, a routine, what is something you can do to still enjoy that routine with them and not feel like you're sitting there watching them eat your favorite thing? You know, like, can you have a snack that's similar? Can you work in that dish? Can you change the meal timing that maybe you're doing this together so that it's earlier in the evening instead of later? But addressing what is realistic for your lifestyle is so important and something we often just sort of fight against.
Yeah. And really, like you said, you can fit it in. It may need to be a different portion size. It may need to be coupled with something so that you have like a signal to stop. And really, and that's kind of a big thing when it comes to late night eating. Put it on a plate. I know at the end of the day, we're tired, we don't really want to think about that, but actually serve yourself, dish it up, put it in a separate bowl, put it on a plate, because then when you get to the bottom, you're at the bottom and you can kind of be like, okay, I'm at the bottom of the dish. This is my signal to kind of stop and move on.
So if someone is like, okay, I'm really trying to make these changes. I've tried to eat meals at different times. I'm trying to change and pause and assess, and they're really struggling. Where would you sort of tell them to start with addressing the late night eating?
So I think the very most important thing is figuring out the trigger first and foremost. You got to actually figure out the why behind it. Is it the emotional? Is it just habit? Is it because you have restricted too much? And that from there, then you can kind of have like a better plan of attack with it. If you know it is because you've restricted so much, it can be as simple as you just need to eat more during the day. You need to start your day off a little bit stronger, a little more higher calories. If it's more of an emotional thing, we got to find better, healthier habits that aren't going to be linked with food to kind of help you handle those emotions. So, and I've talked to clients with this even, like, what's your tool bag? What do you have that's going to be that distraction for you and kind of help you get through that if it's not food? And this can, I mean, I've had clients that they're like, well, I like chess and I play chess on my phone. Great. You're going to play chess on your phone during this time when you feel those urges and you know it's coming from a place of emotion. And just really having that distraction plan is going to be important.
I think too, it's remembering that the more you make something bad, the more you're going to feel guilty about it. And then the more you're going to have negative feelings like associated with it. So then when you repeat it, it's more likely for you to backslide on other healthy habits, which is more likely that that routine will then creep back in. So also just recognizing it is not bad to eat later at night if this is part of your routine, as long as you're fitting it in and working it in as well. So obviously, if it's something that is sabotaging you, you want to change the behavior, change the pattern. But at the same time, you also don't want to demonize eating after a certain time at night, because that might be part of the problem. Just the fact that you feel guilty when that does happen, all of a sudden that creates a backslide in other habits.
Yeah. If the biggest thing at the end of the day, time doesn't matter, you should be at least hitting your minimum calorie requirement. And if that means you're eating a little bit later, that's fine. The only issue with the late night eating comes with, well, what's the quality of your food when you're consuming late at night? Do you have goals that you're trying to reach towards and you're not where you're at? And so you're a little dissatisfied. And as you mentioned, if it happens, it happens. Move on. Like, try again tomorrow. We have lots of time to work on it and figure it out. I think so many times people are like, well, so-and-so did this and it worked for them. You can't put yourself in that box because you're a completely different person and we all have different requirements, different needs, both physical and emotional.
And I know when I was training at like 8 p.m. at night, if I didn't eat after, I was definitely not going to sleep. I was going to be so hungry, so I needed to. And then when I started training earlier, I eat dinner now, like 5 p.m., right? It's just all about making sure that everything is working towards your goals and feeling sustainable for you. And if something isn't working, assessing truly the reason why it isn't working and what you can do to change it.
Exactly. And I've had clients that they prefer a bigger late night snack because they work out fasted first thing in the morning and that those calories kind of help them get through that workout. So again, timing's not everything, but quality is important.
And if your late night snacking is sabotaging you and it's not the snacking that you want to be doing to hit your macros to reach the goals that you want, address what the underlying issue really is.
Exactly.
So let's talk about weekend eating, because I think a lot of us have had that pattern happen where we're good all week and then we fall off on the weekends. I can tell you it is something that I even still battle with, even though I recognize that it is there. You know, there is a desire to relax after a tough week of work and, you know, stricter schedules, waking up at specific times. We want to let loose a little bit more. It's why we even see changes on our vacation eating and our vacation habits, right? But knowing that weekend eating is potentially a thing or we can habits change, there's a lot we can do to plan to improve those habits. But it's taking ownership instead of just trying to force ourselves into a mold, right? If it's a circle mold and we're a square, we can't just try and force ourselves into it. We have to find a square mold that potentially works for us that is a smooth fit. So when we think about it, we want to say, okay, are my habits over the weekend different? How can I really address this to make a change over just saying, I'm going to try and force myself to implement the same habits during the week that I do on the weekend. Then we make ourselves miserable. We can't sustain it. We end up falling off. So remember, A, that this is a pattern we have created. We have created this pattern, this belief that the weekends are different, that on Friday night, we should go out for cocktails and drinks with friends or out to a date night. You know, we have this belief that on Saturday, we should be able to let loose in specific ways, which often involve eating. And this is not a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad belief to have had or to have created or a pattern to have created, but it is a pattern that we have created. And if we recognize that, we can gain the power to change it. So when you think about your weekend routine, in order to change this pattern, you have to recognize where it's sort of coming from and the other habits that are tied to it. Think about it, the fact that you might be at home more, right? Maybe you're out at work or busy with errands all week, so you're not at home as much. But over the weekend, you're by the fridge a lot more. Maybe it's being at home. Maybe it's the fact that you don't have food prep like you do generally during the week. Maybe it's that you're relaxing and food is part of a lot of those relaxing habits and events and social gatherings that you might find yourself doing over the weekend versus over the week. Maybe it's that other people are inviting you out more versus they're not inviting you out over the week. Maybe it's that you travel on the weekends. Whatever reason it is that you find you're triggering these different patterns in eating, you want to assess, okay, if these things are there, how can I address them to make my lifestyle now work for them while I'm making the healthy habit changes that I want? You know, if what works during the week won't work on the weekend, how can you still work around those things? If it's eating out, you know, how can you take ownership of that? Okay, I do want to go out with friends on the weekend. Can I pick the restaurants and have more macro-friendly options? Or can I say, hey, let's do girls' night at my house and I'm going to cook more macro-friendly meals? Or say, hey, okay, I'm going to adjust my macros during the weekend this way to give myself a protein minimum and calorie cap over the weekend, but include potentially less quality foods than I would during the week, focusing more on fruits and vegetables during the week, but having that meal where I'm going to have, you know, the chips and guacamole when I go out, right? How can I address the fact that these things do happen over the week, steer into the patterns I want to replicate, but while creating healthier habits, 1% improvements off of them? But you need to take ownership of what's actually occurring. And then some ways to meet yourself where you're at, some questions to ask yourself. Think about, could you make meal prep that is different that you'd want to eat more on the weekends, right? Could you maybe do a pizza that's more macro friendly over the weekends because you generally like to have pizza on the weekend? Could you include more snacks because you're watching movies with the family? Maybe you work popcorn in, right? How could you make meal prep that works for weekend eating versus the weekday eating that doesn't allow you to feel restricted because you do want a little bit more freedom to have some of the foods you love? You know, could you plan in meals out? Could you do a workout on the weekends to, you know, make sure that you could take a day off during the week, but that gets you moving on the weekends so that you want to do more of the healthy habits, right? Because I find sometimes when I'm lazing around on the couch on the weekend, it makes me want to do a lot more of a lot less, right? I'm like, oh, I don't feel like prepping my food. I don't feel like getting off the couch now, right? So maybe if I take a day off during the week where I'm already motivated to do those things and go out and work out on the weekends, that's getting me up and active so that I don't want to necessarily do more of less. Could you plan ahead with like scheduling out meals for the weekend? Would that give you that more like rigid schedule versus like during the week, you know, you eat at certain times on the weekends because you don't have that time frame anymore? Maybe that leads to you getting too hungry and overeating. So could you schedule out meals? Could you even log days ahead of time over the weekend to give you that accountability? Or maybe having, again, that protein minimum, that calorie cap over set macro ratios allows you to make those 1% improvements and get consistent. The key is meeting yourself where you're at and assessing why patterns are occurring and what we can do to change them, or even how we can take more ownership of them. Because you might say, hey, I do want to change patterns of eating over the weekend because I don't like how I feel after the weekend when I'm just, you know, letting everything go, right? So maybe you say, I do want to change the weekend eating, or you say, hey, these are some non-negotiables in my life, going out on a Friday night, having, you know, meals with game night with family and having these foods, right? So how can I steer into this pattern and make it work for me? But you need to assess your actual lifestyle instead of just trying to like force yourself into a mold. The more we meet ourselves where we're at, the more we make lasting changes. So if you found that you have the pattern of I'm good all week with the weekend sabotaging you, own what the changes in your habits are over the weekend and then find ways to make 1% improvements. Don't just force the mold that works during the week on the weekend because that might not fit. Okay, so really assess what you need on the weekends to make those 1% improvements and keep pushing forward towards your goals. I want to talk about some workout habits I find us defaulting back into when we want to see results faster or when we feel like we're not getting the results that we deserve. And a lot of these relate back to wanting to do more, right? We want to train harder. We want to extend our sessions. We want to use our workouts to try and out exercise our diet. But falling back into some of these habits actually sabotages our long-term success and a lot of the things we're trying to overcome, right? We'll default back into doing more cardio when really that's going to sabotage the muscle gains we want to see. So we need to assess what our habits are in our training and create that clear progression because I think that also holds us accountable and stops us from doing what we feel that day because feelings our data and they can often sabotage us. So these are some habits I find myself fighting against and I wanted to share them because I see a lot of my clients often trying to fight against them as well. So habit number one is doing more, that desire to do more. We want to make our workouts longer. We want to add more into our sessions. We even want to try two a day sometimes. And I find it's key to have a clear workout progression mapped out because I know that I've designed everything strategically with a purpose. And that prevents me from wanting to do more because I'm like, I need to maximize and optimize what is laid out. If I feel like I can do more than the reps and sets listed, then I needed to have pushed harder. I needed to have used a harder variation, right? It gives me some accountability to focus on that quality over wanting to do a larger quantity. It's more intentionality with the training. Here's what I'm going to do. How can I make this benefit me the most possible? And then I don't let feelings sort of sabotage. Oh no, I gained weight on the scale, or oh no, I did this. And now I'm going to do more in my training or try and add in an extra session. Nope. I have my clear progression. I'm going to test it out, track my progress in it. So writing out that clear progression can help really fight against the do more attitude. It also helps with the desire to cut out rest, right? When we want to feel more worked because we feel like we need to work harder to see results faster, often we cut out more rest. This makes us feel often more slaughtered because we're not recovering adequately. The problem is that when we cut out more rest, we're changing what we're working, the energy systems we're actually addressing, even how much we can lift. So while we might still be going at 100% intensity that next round on that next deadlift, we're not actually giving a true 100% intensity because we're working from a depleted point, right? Our cup hasn't refilled. We've consumed some of it and we now have less water in the cup and we're working off of that. That's 100% of the water in there, but it's less water than was in there to start. So you need to recognize that if you don't give yourself adequate rest, your 100% intensity is lower than it was potentially before. So I find a way to help myself not cut out rest when I'm actually in a training session is to time it. So I will start my watch. I actually use the activity tracker more for rest timing than I do to watch anything else with my workouts, but I'll start it just so that I can have those intervals timed so that I'm like, hey, if I need 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever else it is, I look at my watch when I finish the round. I make sure that I stay resting until the time is up, but I'm timing my rest and then I'm writing it down even to make sure that I'm taking that time. But that makes me make sure that I'm not cutting it out based on like, well, I kind of feel recovered, right? Because we can also have that happen. Well, I feel recovered, so maybe I should go, right? And especially if we're shorter on time, we rush it. So I'll even make myself walk around a little bit, getting in the extra steps because then I'm moving, or I'll like assess what other weights could I have. I'll get set up for the next thing, but I'll use that rest, but make sure that I'm timing it to take all of it fully. I'll even review videos if I videoed form to make myself rest and utilize that time efficiently to get more out of it. Try not to go on my phone other than reviewing videos because I don't want to get distracted either. Next habit I find myself defaulting back into is often not doing something if I can't do the ideal. Okay, so this goes for a full workout even, right? If you can't do your full hour-long workout that you set out, or you can't do your full 6 days a week, often we end up doing nothing. What's the point? We can't be perfect with it. But something is better than nothing. And a lot of times we forget how important it is to create that success mindset. I have accomplished this even when I wouldn't normally do something, and that's going to make me do more. I have held this appointment with myself by even doing 5 minutes, right? It makes us make it still a priority in our head. I find that often this comes down to having that progression laid out, having even a plan B in place. And often with that, I will do like a 5 minute routine that's just a mobility routine. And the reason I'll outline a mobility routine over even anything else is that I know if I do 5 minutes of mobility, often I'll feel a lot better after that. And that will make me want to do more. Plus, I've already got my warm up done. 5 minute mobility, now I can go into a workout. So I'll have plan Bs in place, like shorter workouts that I can easily swap in, and especially mobility routines to even get me out of my funk and into the do more attitude. So have those 5 minute options, have those 15 minute options, have other options in place that you can even do at home, just because if you don't have a lot of time, going to the gym might not be feasible. And then to remember that you can still do a lot with those sessions and maybe even slightly shift your focus. So I know if in my workouts, even if I'm, you know, working on potentially heavy deadlifts or whatever else, and I can't do those things at home, well, hey, what could I design into a 5 minute routine that would benefit me so that next week when I get back to that deadlift workout or I get to it later in the week, I'll see gains and improvements in that. So I'll be like, okay, if it's working on deadlifts, I'm going to do some extra glute activation. Or if you're working on pistol squat, okay, I know my ankle mobility needs a little extra work. I'm going to write out a 5 minute routine for that. Or if you're working on pushups, pull-ups, whatever it is, what's a 5 minute routine that can benefit me long-term in my performance goal? And the more you focus on that, the more you'll do something that will still move you forward and make you feel positive and make you want to stay in the groove. And the more you do, the more you do. Okay. So I find that those are very, very helpful if I am short on time. And then even recognizing ahead of time, is this a busy season where my 6 days a week is not really realistic right now? Is it better to do three? Because sometimes going back to doing three and again, getting in that consistency in our programming can help us want to do more. Not to mention designing for the time we have can get us fabulous results because we're getting more bang for a buck. How you design for 6 days a week, you might do more anterior posterior, you might do more hemisphere split versus if you're designing for three, you might do more full body, and you can still create a great training frequency if you own what's actually realistic for your schedule right then. Habit number four, I find even that I want to default back into, even though I'm so big on progressions, is hopping from thing to thing. I'll see a cool new workout trend going on or a cool new move and I'll be like, oh, I want to do it, right? And I'll want to add in all these different new variables. I'll get shiny object syndrome. But in doing that, then I can't actually track what's working, what's not working. Or I can make myself so sore that I can't train as consistently, or I can't create progression in my lifts. So we want to make sure that we've designed that clear weekly schedule and we're following it. It's not that we can't allow ourselves some flexibility. With life, we do want to have fun, right? So if you do find a new move, find ways to work in things that will keep you energized and wanting to train hard. But try and keep that consistency in plan because you'll be able to track progress. And if you're thinking, well, it's boring repeating the same workouts, it shouldn't be boring if you're pushing. It should potentially be a little draining. And sometimes we even get mental fatigue from that progression or workouts and constantly trying to push ourselves. So we do need that mental deload week as well as a physical one. But you want to think, how can I push myself to do a little bit more weights? How can I challenge myself a little bit more with the variation? How can I challenge myself to focus on the move a little bit more and activate the right muscles? But stay focused, okay? Try and make sure too that when you're implementing new things into your training that they have a point and purpose. So often we think, oh, well, this looks hard or this looks good, but you want to know the purpose behind a move. You don't want to include just a single leg deadlift just to include a single leg deadlift because someone else said it was a good move. You want to say, hey, I want to work on my posterior chain. I want to work a little bit more on my balance. I've sort of hit a point where I'm hitting that max loads with my bilateral deadlift, and I'm going to start letting ego get in the way with trying to lift heavy. So I'm going to correct imbalances and go to the single leg deadlift to give myself a break so that I even see a jump next time I return back to the deadlift, right? So think about including everything with a purpose and not just hopping from thing to thing, because if you're randomly stringing things together, you're not going to really see that progression and you're not going to know it works, and then you won't be able to track progress and you can end up stopping doing something that's really good for you. The last habit I find in my workouts that I often fall back into, especially if I am busier or, you know, I'm hitting that sort of maxed out point mentally or I'm not feeling as motivated, is rushing through my workouts. I'm not as intentional with every exercise, with the quality of movement. You get more out of the moves you really care about, you focus on, you have that intentionality with your training. Just trying to get a workout done is not going to pay off as much, because a lot of times we compensate, we rush through, we don't try and optimize the movements. So if you're going to train, train with intentionality. Bring your mindset into that workout, stay focused. I know sometimes we just want to be told what to do, we just want to follow along, right? We want to tune our brains out. You can't if you want the biggest bang for your buck, because that's where we end up doing ab exercises where we feel our lower back instead and we're not getting the full benefit. We end up not being intentional with our deadlifts and overloading your lower back instead of using your glutes and hamstrings. We risk injury. We risk not optimizing the movements and getting as much out of the training sessions as we deserve, so that we even feel like we're working really hard and not seeing the results we want. So don't rush through. If you're short on time, give yourself even a 15-minute interval where you time the workout and you time that set just so that you know, hey, I know this will fit in 15 minutes and I won't rush through because I have that timer on me and it will go off at 15 minutes. So even set that timer to help yourself stay focused on the quality of repetitions. But just recognize that even 5 minutes done of quality versus an hour done where you just are rushing through everything, trying to get it all done, it's going to be a lot more bang for your buck, because you're truly being intentional with those movements and making sure you're getting the right things working. And you're actually doing the level that fits your needs and goals at that time. Okay. But if you're finding you're defaulting back into any of those habits, hopefully those tips really help. Just remember, it's about really focusing on what you need and making everything work for you over just trying to work harder or do more. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of the Fitness Hacks Podcast. Hope these tips help you really see some of the habits that you're implementing right now and how to make changes so that you're really creating patterns and lifestyle routines that move you forward.